Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening. We are so glad that you decided to join us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. Our regular host, Elder Richard Taylor, is not joining us tonight. So tonight you have Evangelist Dove Stanton serving as your host on this evening. We would like to say on behalf of our pastor, Pastor Omar Zachary, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Lady Pamela Zachary, good evening and welcome to our Tuesday night Bible study. We are so glad that each and every one of you decided to join us on tonight. Tonight, our teacher will be Elder Derek Oliver. Elder Derek Oliver will be our teacher on tonight. So we're going to ask that you get your pencil, your paper, and your Bible so that you can follow along in the lesson. And before I present to you Elder Oliver, I would like to say a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. We thank you for light, health, and strength on today. Father God, I pray that you would touch Elder Oliver as he brings the word, God, in season and out of season. I pray, Father God, that we won't just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word, that we would take the word and study it for ourselves, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, that we would gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I pray that you would touch him right now as he teaches this Bible study tonight. I pray that you would speak through him, God. Let your words be his words. Let your way be his way. Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for each and every person that is listening on tonight that is going to gain something from this word so they can run on and see what the end is going to be. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And with that being said, Elder Oliver, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Evangelist Stanton. I appreciate you. I appreciate you opening up tonight. You being here, Elder Bluett and Evangelist Bluett, also on the line tonight. I just want to thank y'all for being here and supporting Bible study tonight. I'm excited about the word, and I'm very humbled to be able to teach again. I'm revved up. I'm ready to go. With that being said, I don't think at the end of the lesson, y'all, I'm going to take a turn. Hopefully you'll know where I'm coming from, but I'm going to have a surprise at the end because the Lord is going something with me, and I'm not going to say it's something new. It's just something that I didn't recognize before that I recognize now. And I'm grateful that I can recognize, you know, sometimes we be in church so long we get comfortable. And I can only speak for me, but being comfortable and missing certain things that the Lord is trying to tell us or tell me. And now that I feel like I'm wide awake because I'm praying more, fasting more, and it's just like, okay, the Lord is making me sharp. And I'm going to be honest with you, a month ago I wasn't sharp. I thought I was. I would have argued with you and fought with you and said I'm sharp, but after last week, I know what sharp is. So with that being said, hopefully we get something out of the Bible study tonight. And I'm just excited about being able to do the Bible study. If I would use the title for tonight's Bible study, my title would be God's Response to a Praying Church. God's response to a praying church. And then I just added this a few minutes ago: don't miss the knock at the door. And when I say that at the very end, we're going to talk about a knock on the door. And I'm just going to wait till we get to the end before I get there. But if you have your Bibles with me, I want you to go to Acts, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to read. And yeah, I'm a little nervous, and I don't want to get too excited because there's some points I want to make out. And I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach all of this. I'm just going to get some points. And then we'll come back and get it another day. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to Acts, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to start at the first verse. That's Acts 12 chapter, and I'm going to start at the first verse. And again, I just want to thank the Lord for Praise Tabernacle Church, all the elders, all the deacons, all the evangelists, and especially Pastor and the First Lady. Just want to thank all of y'all for having me on the team. And I really am growing from all the teachers and the preaching. I am continuing to grow. So hopefully I know my family sees the growth in me, and hopefully you guys do too, because I'm trying to go to another level. Acts 12 chapter, we're going to start with verse number 1. And it says, now about that time, I'm coming out of King James Version as well. Acts 12 verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to evict certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Were the days of unrevealed bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but the prayers was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And I'm going to stop right there, because we're going to talk about God's response to a praying church. And one of the things I'm going to, before I get into the scriptures, I want to talk about is the importance of prayer in the church. And I believe, and like I said, that people have forgotten that there's power in prayer. We seem to only pray for two reasons: for trivial stuff and when we're in trouble. Trivial stuff is we'll pray that, you know, we hope the line ain't long at the grocery store. We'll pray that, you know, I hope I can find a parking lot. we'll pray. Mm-hmm. Those type of prayers is what I'm talking about. And then we'll also pray when we get in trouble. And the problem with that is we're only praying for trivial stuff and when we're in trouble. And there's power in prayer, but praying should not be only twice for trivial stuff and when you're in trouble. It ought to be made a lifestyle. We ought to always, the Bible says men ought to always pray. We ought to always be praying. It just shouldn't be when we're in trouble. We ought to pray when we get up. We ought to pray somewhere throughout the day, and we ought to pray at night. Or however the Lord leads you to pray, we ought to always be praying. And that's one of the points that I want to make is the church has to get back to praying. And a praying church is a strong church. A praying church is a powerful church because there's power in prayer. And that's one of the things that it says in verse 5, that the church, when Peter was arrested, they were all at Mary's house, and that what represents, I'm going to use her house to represent the church. They all went there to pray when Peter got arrested. And I want you to see what happens while they were praying in the church and what was happening to Peter while he was in prison, because there's power in prayer. And even though they was at the church praying, and a lot of people preached this saying when the church went to praying, Peter got released from prison. But that's not what happened. When the church went to praying, it caused an angel to leave heaven to go to Peter. And in verse 5, it says the church went to praying. And I'm going to skip down to verse 7 for a minute because there's something in 7 that I want you to see. And it says, and behold, verses Acts 12, verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And that the light shined in the prison, and he spoke Peter, smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off of his hands. Now, I just want to read that again. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Now, what happens in verse 7 is the angel went to the cell of where Peter was at. And he struck him on the side and it says, get up quickly. And when Peter heard that, he obeyed what the angel said. And when you obey what God tells us, deliverance will happen. Because as soon as he obeyed it and jumped up quickly, the chains fell off his hands. I'm going to say that again. When we obey the word of God, deliverance will happen if we just obey what the word tells
Amen.
Us to do.
Amen.
The change will come off. Now, I don't want to get too happy here because I got happy here because there wasn't a whole lot of three asterisks going on. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't put his oil on his head. Not saying that we don't need to do those things, but if we can just obey Lord sometimes, he can deliver us. It don't take a whole lot of stuff. It don't take a whole lot of church stuff to get us delivered. If we can just obey what the angel said,
Amen.
And the chain
Amen.
Fell off quickly. That's very important. We got to obey what the word says. And when I say this, I'm going to stay here for a minute. Obey what God's word says. Not what Brother Derek say. Not what any other man's. What the word says. When you're locked up in a place
Right.
that you don't belong.
Right.
The only thing that can get you out is God's word. Nothing else. God's word. The angel said, move quickly. He moved quickly, and the chains
right.
fell off. Now, I'm going to get
Amen.
Excited in verse 8. In verse 8, it says, and the angel said unto him, guide thyself and bring on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. Now, what's happening right here is that when you go to prison, even back then, in those days when you went to prison, just like you do today when you go to prison, you have to change your clothes. You put on prison clothes. And when you put on prison clothes, you identify yourself as a prisoner. Look what the angels told him to do. He said, put your clothes that you came in there back on. Take that stuff off and put these clothes on and follow me. So what happens is when we can be obedient to God's word and he put on his clothes, what happens is sometimes when we get locked up, the devil comes and he takes our stuff. And what I mean, he takes our stuff. He takes our peace. He takes our joy. He takes our power. And that's why the angel told him, put your clothes back on. Because when God gets ready to deliver you, he's going to give you your peace back. He's going to give you your strength back. He's going to give you everything back that the devil has stole from you. So you got to take off those clothes that got you bound up. You got to take those clothes off that got you in prison. You got to take that stuff off and put back on what God gave you in the first place. And that was peace, joy. He's given us all of that. And we have to remember in the scriptures, sometimes some of us are locked up in prison. We may not be in a physical prison, but we may be locked up in depression. We may be locked up in just whatever the certain whatever it may be, we may be locked up in it. And what God wants you to do is take back what you lost. If you lost it, take it back. If you don't have peace, take it back. You have to take it back. And as he began to put the clothes on and take back what the devil has given you, take back what the devil has taken from you, you have it back. And that's what we have to learn to do. If we begin to pray, and we begin to pray about it. Now don't forget, the church is praying for Peter. The church is praying for him. And they don't know what's happening to Peter. They're just praying for Peter. And I want you to note verse 5. I forgot to say this. In verse 5, the church began to pray for Peter. Remember that. Mm-hmm. The church was praying for Peter. And the angel came down, told Peter to get up, change fell off, put his clothes back on, and they began to walk out of the prison. And he had 4 squadrons of soldiers. So he had 16, because squadrons is 4. That was what it means. It was 4, but he had 4 sets of squadrons, which equals 16. Mm-hmm. He had 16 soldiers watching him. And as they was watching him, after verse 8, 9, 10, you see that Peter walks out of prison. And when he walks out of prison, no one stops him. No one tells him to go back to jail. They let him walk out of jail. Now watch this. When you obey God's word and you do what God tells you to do and he begins to deliver you, the same people who locked you up has to watch you walk right by them because you're walking with God. The angel was with him. Okay. God was with him and they couldn't touch him. So when you obey God's word, you numb the devil. He can't do nothing but watch you walk out. Because there were 16 of them. Mm-hmm. And then nowhere where I see in the scriptures where they say they tried to stop him. Because he was walking with an angel. He was walking with God. And when you walk with God, the same people that backstabbed you, talked about you, tried to hurt, harm you, God will allow you to walk right past them. And they won't be able to do nothing against you. It says that for whatever they meant for evil, God means it for good. When they try to kill you, you'll walk right by your enemy. So remember that when you go and you around people who don't like you, it's for a reason. They can't do nothing to hurt you. Remember that.
Nothing.
Because God is right there with you. He'll walk you right past them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm starting to get happy now. We go. Yes, go ahead. Go right on.
In number 7, when you were talking about what was it? When he got
obey God's word.
A lot of times, because we are so slowful, we miss our blessing. Okay, he didn't have time to ask questions. We want to know how, when, where, what. And a lot of times,
we want to know how we're going to get out of things. If God told you to do something, just like I was telling you about my daughter, when he told me at 4 o'clock in the morning when they couldn't get her breathing, God told me, I didn't have time to ask God, why do you want me to go down there and tickle her feet? Okay, God woke me up out of my sleep, told me to go tickle, and they were trying to get my baby to breathe. She stopped breathing. And when I woke up, they were on top of her doing compressions on her chest. God said, tickle the bottom of her feet. We don't have time. A lot of Christians don't believe, first of all, they don't believe that God still delivers and still raising people from the dead. That's first of all.
Amen.
Second of all,
Amen.
You have a bunch of questions. You have to ask questions. You have to have the logic and the knowledge. I mean, you don't. When God tells you to move, you don't have time to ask questions. This man, he didn't ask no questions. Okay, he didn't have time. We miss out on our blessings because we got to know how, what, when, and when, where.
Amen. I'm so glad you said that because I'm so glad you said that. I don't want to repeat what you just said, but I feel like I got to repeat it. A lot of times we want to know too much information, and our understanding is not God's understanding, and our ways are not His ways. But when He tells us to move, we just need to move because He's working things out. He's doing things. Evangelist Stan, do you have anything so far?
I do. In verse 6, it says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. God is telling us, no matter your situation, you can still get your rest. You better talk
Amen.
About it.
Amen. Amen.
Too often, we allow our situation to consume us so much. We talking about we can't sleep at night. But Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, one in his left and one of his right. So even though you got a situation to the left and you got a situation to the right, you better not have a sleepless night. Because if you allow God and if you trust God to work out what He's going to do, because you got people praying for you, and even the prayers that you have laid before you, that's why he was saying it is so powerful to have a prayer life, because that prayer life can be getting you ready for something that you're going to be going through. And instead of you having a sleepless night in doubt, in worry, in fear, in confusion, you can be sleep.
Amen.
You can go to bed and still be at rest. That's Nelda Oliver. I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right on. I hear him saying amen. You got something, Elder.
Man, y'all own that thing, boy. I tell you. I said I was gonna let the evangelist tackle you tonight, but I do wanna go back to verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. How many of us wanna know what you're going through before we can, you know, believe that God's gonna bring you through? You know. So, you know, it's a lot of folk that don't get called, that hadn't got called since the pandemic, right? Until somebody else mentions, well, so-and-so is going through this or going through that. Let's pray for this person or that person. Then we want to, you know, it kind of pricked our mind to call them to see what they're going through, right? So
Amen.
I think your topic was about a praying church. We ought not, and like my wife has said, we ought not ask questions or seek what's going on in somebody else's house. But if your name is mentioned that you need help, that you need prayer, or that you're going through, we ought to immediately pray for that person or persons or family. For the, you know, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It shall save the homeless. It shall save whatever God, whatever that person has a need for. So as my wife stated earlier, we ought to not, you know, be trying to you know, incline ourselves to know what the situation is, but to pray for that person's release
Amen.
From whatever bondage they're in.
Amen. 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 That's right. And just like I said, there's so much power in prayer. And the more we pray, the more powerful we are. And if we're praying like we're supposed to be praying, you know, we really ain't got to ask no questions. Peter was put in jail. I just want to put this little nugget out there, too. When he was arrested, Peter was arrested. He was doing what he was called to do. And when you is doing discipleship, when you're doing discipleship work, it's not about the perks, it's about the persecution. I'm going to say that again. When you're doing discipleship work, it's not about the perks, it's about the persecution. And if you're in it, and if people like you, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Because if you're walking and you're a called disciple, we ought to be able to irritate unsaved people. If we're walking the way the Lord wants us to walk, it ought to irritate the people. The people was happy when John got killed. They were happy when Peter got killed. Peter was doing the work of the Lord. And when he was doing the work of the Lord, it wasn't about it ain't always about getting pat on your back. It ain't always about, people are not going to like you because you're walking. It should irritate. The place around
Elder Oliver, I don't know if you can hear me good, but you're breaking up really bad.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up really bad, but I did have a comment here.
Go ahead.
You were saying that your lifestyle as a Christian should irritate the world, but you know what? Nowadays, it's not just the world that if you're walking as God has called you to walk, even some of the church. Because the church has allowed so many things of the world to enter into the church that, you know, if you are truly living a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness, you're even going to irritate some of the church as well, you know, because the church is not walking in the authority of Jesus Christ, not like it used to. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to the principles, to the principles of what Christianity is. And like you said, disciples is discipline. We need to be disciplined men and women, sons and daughters of the Most High God, discipline in prayer, discipline in fasting, discipline in reading and studying the Word of God. Discipline that we're saying no to sin, that we're not practicing sin and talking about, well, God knows my heart and the grace of God. You have got to say no to sin. Discipline to stand, to stand and be armored in the Word of God. So not only will you make the world upset by your walk, but nowadays, almost make some of the church upset by your walk.
Amen.
So we need to get back to that. What'd you say, Evangelist?
I said, was these not the Sadducees right here? in the first couple of verses, was that not the Sadducees that was upset with the apostles?
No. Okay, I believe
what,
so.
I
can y'all
folks.
Hear me now?
I say church folks.
Yes.
Church folks. Yeah. Mm. Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You good?
Okay. Okay. And Evangelist, thank you, but I got everything that you said. And what I wanted to say about Peter being arrested and being a disciple, he was doing the work of the Lord, and people get angry when you do the work of the Lord. And like Evangelist Sandman was mentioning, sometimes the church, because the church, I'm just going to be honest, I'm not talking about any particular church, I'm just saying in general, the church forgotten how to pray. And because we've forgotten how to pray, we don't have no power. And then we allow everything to come into the church. We don't know how to pray it out of the church because we think it's okay to be in the church. But if you're praying, the Lord will lead you to run some of that stuff out of the church. But because we want to serve that God with the little g, and just think everything is love, 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 and it's okay to do anything and everything when that's not true. You know, when we begin to pray, some of that stuff we can just pray right out of the church. It ain't even got no business in the church. But we don't know how to do that now because we want to conform with everything that the world is doing. But one of the things I wanted to say as well before I move on is the government at this time, that when they arrested Peter, they were knowing what they were supposed to do. That's what the government was. They were supposed to get him and kill him. And everyone was happy with that. The government was doing what the government was supposed to do. And the church was doing what the church was supposed to do. And once we get back to doing what the church is supposed to do, because the church is supposed to be praying, regardless what the government is doing, regardless what laws is being passed and what they're saying, the church is supposed to be praying. And if we're praying doing our part, they can't, I don't care what law passed, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, we can supersede what they're peeing saying they can write into law. But see, the church want to compromise and want to be politicians now. But that's for a subject for a different day. That's a subject for a different day. I'm going to move on. And we're going to move on because it's about to get real good, because I want to go to verse when Peter and the angel, and they walked out of prison, and they were walking to Mary's house, and the angel left, and Peter said, I'm going to go to Mary's house. That's where the church was, and they were in a prayer meeting. And in verse 13, it says that Peter knocked on the door, and Rhoda, I hope I'm saying her name right.
It's Rhoda.
Name Rhoda, mm-hmm. Came to the door. And when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't open the door. She got excited when he was knocking on the door and heard his voice. And she ran to where they was having the prayer meeting at. And she went back to the church that was praying for Peter. Now, you got to understand, I said this in the very beginning. In verse 5, we see the church was praying for Peter. The confirmation came back to the church through a little girl named Rhoda, who ran to the prayer meeting and said, Peter's at the door. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit because I'm a preacher and I'm sorry. But when she ran back and told them that Peter was at the door, they thought she was crazy. And they thought she was crazy. And she went back to the door. And as Peter was knocking, she ran back to the prayer meeting and said, Peter's at the door. And they said, no, it must be a ghost. And if they thought it was a ghost, ghost comes from the dead. They thought that it was the ghost of Peter. They thought he was already dead. My question was, why was they praying? When confirmation came to the door that Peter was there, they didn't want to believe it. So my question is, what was they praying? We know there's power in prayer, but sometimes we pray these prayers that, and I believe Evangelist Bluette was talking about her daughter, and she knew in her mind, you couldn't tell her nothing about her daughter not breathing. You couldn't tell her that because she knew God, prayer, through prayer. Prayer comes power. power will be, okay, the doctor says one thing, but my prayer is going to say something different. And because they were, I don't know what they was praying. I don't know, because the confirmation came that Peter was at the door. Now, I want to take my time here because this is where I'm going to take a turn at. This young girl went to them and said that Peter was at the door. And I believe they didn't believe her because, A, she was young. Two, she was a female. And in my mind, and I just want you to stay there because this is back then, but how relevant is it today? When young people answers the door and they come tell us that Peter's at the door because they didn't tell us the way they were, we wanted them to tell us, or because it wasn't a man that told them, it was a young girl. And in their mind, divine revelation comes in a gender and in an age. So sometimes, and I'm guilty of this myself, when we hear young people, because it was not like the way I wanted it to be, or the way Elder Blulette wanted to be, or Evangelist Stanton or Evangelist Blulette wanted to be, it wasn't right when this young child busted in the prayer meeting and said, Peter's at the door. The reason the church is losing the battle today is because we're not listening to the young people. We're not allowing them to be used by God the way God wants them to be used. That's why I was so blessed the other night, and this is where this lesson comes from, when I heard Elder Blewett's daughter talking about the Lord. When she was talking about it, and I heard it the first time, I heard the testimony weeks ago, I heard it, and I'm sitting, I just heard it, because I was sitting in my brain, in my head, okay, she went through some, amen, praise the Lord, let's move on. But when I heard her speaking the word of God on Sunday, and I heard it, and I went to sleep that night, and the Lord said, there's something to that. There's something to that. And if we in the church don't listen to our young people as they're on fire for the Lord, and don't just put them up every blue moon or once on Young People Sunday, we have to tap into that and use them as much as we can, because if we don't, they may lose interest. And if we don't feed them the food they need to be fed, they will starve, and they may starve and go somewhere else. And what I mean by somewhere else, a different religion. And I've seen it happen. So the Lord was telling me through the scriptures, when the knock was at the door, are we listening to for the knock? Are we allowing the young people to answer the door? When they come into the prayer meeting and say, Peter's at the door, are we going to listen to them because of the way they came in the room, because of the way they look, because of the way they sounded? God used this young girl to tell them Peter was at the door. And because they were praying, now watch what they were praying for Peter. They knew what was getting ready to happen to Peter, but they was praying that Peter will probably die a peaceful death. They weren't praying that Peter would be healed and delivered. Because they were praying Peter would be healed and delivered, they would have shouted for joy when the girl ran in the room and said, Peter's at the door. But because John was killed, they thought Peter was going to be killed. And because they was praying, and we got to understand the power of prayer. When they began to pray, regardless of what they were praying or how they was praying, I wrote this down. And I want you to write this down as well. It's about the grace. God's mercy will overcome our low expectations. I'm going to say that again. God's mercy will overcome our low expectations when we pray.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God's mercy will overcome. Even though I may not think that the Lord is going to raise this person up. And I was sharing with my wife when I was talking about this, and I know, the Bluettes, you can relate to this, but when my wife's mother was laying there in the hospital bed, lifeless, and I had to go pick her up from the airport. And there were some preachers and some bishops at the church, and they were telling me what to pray. They were telling me what to say, as if it was already over. You don't give that prayer, not let your will be done, not let our will, but let your will be done. We already setting it up that it's getting ready to be over with. And see, that's not the type of prayer that we have. We have, there's power in our prayer. He can change a dead person and bring them back to life. When the doctors say there's no hope, there's hope in prayer. And see, this is what we have to understand. And when I'm trying to bring this thing home now, young people today, we're saying they have no hope. There's no hope for them. They're out there. They're just out there doing what God knows what. And I was sharing with someone when I heard this young girl, and I hope I'm not messing y'all up tonight by going back and forth. When I heard this young girl teaching the word of God on social media, when you look at most girls that age, they're twerking, they have nude, they're doing things that are ungodly. So when you find a young person that's willing to speak out for the Lord, you got to take hold of that, and you got to use that so the devil can't get them. You got to encourage that. So, yeah, my spirit was lifted, not because it was Elder Blouette's daughter, because it was a young person being used by the Lord. And if we don't get our acts together in the church and allow the young people to open up and to minister in their way, we're going to lose them to the devil. And I'm just going to keep it that simple. They're knocking on the door. Are we listening to them? Because it's not the way Elder Oliver wanted it to be taught. It doesn't mean it can't reach other people. It doesn't mean we can't use them. They're searching and they're crying to be to be used by God. And because she's a female and because she's young, why can't she be used by God? This female in this passage of scripture was young, and she was female, and they didn't want to listen. They called her crazy. They said it was a ghost. These are church people who praying.
That's
who
it was.
They were
praying
people.
In the first place.
Right.
And when they and because they're in there praying, and they're praying for Peter, and sometimes I'm just gonna be honest. I don't want the church to always pray for me because I don't know what y'all praying. I don't know what you believe. So you gotta
watch
be careful
out,
who you let pray
out.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a story for another day. Lord said, you know, there's a lot in here that we can unpack, but you know, the Lord wanted me to show how he can deliver you by his word. And it's important to let the young people know, if you just study God's word, no matter what position you get in, you can get yourself out of it using God's word, using his word, believing in his word. And when he speaks to you, quickly move. Don't ask questions. It's very simple. These are very simple instructions. We make it hard. We make it think you got to go through years and years of counseling. No, you don't. You just study God's word, and when he speaks to you, move. Well, how do you know God's speaking to you? Well, if you're studying his word, he's going to speak to you through his word. You will know it's him speaking to you.
Amen.
And then when you move quickly, the change will come off. The place you don't want to be, you won't be no more. When you wake up and you think that you're having suicide thoughts, he's going to replace that. He's going to replace those thoughts with his word. See, I feel like preaching right now, but I'm just trying to get my point across through the Bible study tonight. And with Peter being locked in jail, being walked right out because he obeyed the word. And when you obey the word, you can walk right out and walk right past your enemies, the people who put you in the position. You can walk right past them. You ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to talk to them. You walk right past them. And then when you get to the church house, when they're praying for you, and you get there should be excitement. The little girl was excited to hear Peter because she knew where he was at. But she was the only one that was excited. Now, if she's the only one that was excited and she was young and a female, what was everybody else in the house doing? What were they when they found out Peter was at the door? So sometime this tells me, and I'm ready to wrap it up. I'm going to let the evangelist and the elder go. If the church folks or the people who praying don't believe what they're praying, but yet they in charge of the prayer, that means there's no power in the prayer. So when we look back at the church today, I don't care about coronavirus. Is anyone being saved? Is anyone being healed? Is anyone being delivered? Is change falling off people? Do we see a change? Or are we like everybody else just praying trivial and when we in trouble? Well, I'm going to pray when I get sick. Well, if I ain't sick, I ain't got to pray today. Hmm. But when I go to Walmart and they got them long lines, I'm saying, Jesus, I hope this line is short. And we think that the Lord is going to answer our prayer to make sure that line is short when you ain't praying about nothing else. And like Elder Blue said, are we praying for the people we haven't seen since COVID-19? Are we doing our discipleship work? Because if we're praying and interceding for them, God will give us a direct line to them. A direct line. We should. There shouldn't be no one uncovered. Now, I'm not trying to say we ain't doing our jobs. I'm not trying to say any of that. But yet, I am trying to say that at the same time. The Lord has really shown me something this last week. And if we're not leaving ourselves empty on a day in and day out basis, are we really God's disciple? And when I say leaving ourselves empty, are we doing everything that he called us to do? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we answering the knock at the door? Even though there may be Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on our door, are we going to answer? Or are we going to just leave it alone?
Yes, sir.
Because there's ministry.
Yes, sir.
The people we don't know that we live right next door to or two, three streets down that don't know nothing about us, are we ministering? Are we letting them know that we are children of God? And if you ever need anything, our door is open. And sometimes we don't want our neighbors asking us for food or to borrow this or to borrow that, but that's a way to share the word of God to somebody. And all I'm trying to say tonight is for the church, we need to get back in understanding that there's power in prayer. And don't forget, when someone's knocking on a door and confirmation is going to come, because as they was praying, God sent an angel to Peter's cell. And as he sent them to the cell, they were still praying. But the answer was on the way while they were praying. So what I would say to most people is when you pray, pray with expecting the answer to show up at your door. Pray with the expectations of whatever the situation is, it will be healed. Yeah. You need a financial plan. Pray that you will get that financial. It's on the way. If you believe in the power of prayer, if you believe it, while you're praying, believe that it's going to happen. Because if you don't believe end up believing, okay, my expectations will be low. Just let me get through this day. Well, I don't want to get through the day. I want to get through the day with the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't want to have a frown on my face. I want to have a, regardless of the situation, because I know God is going to take it to another level. He's going to put his handprint in it. I don't care what the doctor, what the lawyers, what anybody else says, God is going to have the final answer. And we have to believe that. And if we believe it, it shall be done, because his word will not come back void, regardless of the situation. And I just want people to understand who's listening all over the place. We got to stop putting young people in a box. They have just the right to minister as I do. They have just the right to have the power that I have. And if we don't allow them to express themselves, they're going to express it the way a lot of them is expressing it right now. And all you got to do is go on social media and see how they're expressing themselves. You ain't got to be friends with them. All you got to do is just go on social media. Stroll up a little bit. You'll see it. You'll see it. It was funny because right before we heard Elder Willett's daughter speak, I have Instagram on my phone. I just pulled it up. And my wife said, "What is that on your phone?" And it was a half-naked woman on my, even before we got to where we were going. And that's when the Lord started dealing with me. Because they could be doing a lot of other things. And the ones that we got and we know, we need to embrace and we need to let them know that the Lord is going to be with them. Just because they don't do it the way we do it, it don't mean that it can't get done. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as long as they speak yeah. on his word and they believe on his word, it will get done. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty. Yeah. And I'm the first one to say that I'm guilty. Because I sit back being saved for so long thinking things need to be done a certain way. And that's really trying to say the Lord don't have enough power to use anybody else but certain people like me. That's it. Anyone else got anything they want to say? I'm sorry.
Okay. Amen. Amen. I do want to say that the snippet that was on about my daughter is that we hear it every day. We hear it every day. So, before she was diagnosed with what she had or what was going on, her brain was swollen, and we didn't know it. It had swelled. And her outburst mentally was about God and Jesus. She didn't outburst about anything negative. She outburst about God and Jesus, and she did that day and night. Before we was able to get her to the doctor to get diagnosed. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ricky, I think it took about a week before they found out what may be the issue. And mm-hmm. when they found out what the issue was, it was an issue that the doctors all over the world only knew 10 years in practice. Mm-hmm. And her recovery was not instant, but almost instant compared to other patients that had her same situation. And when she got out of the hospital, still had some issues. My wife prayed and let it go. Me, I prayed continuously. Because it was my daughter. When that thing hit home, it's different. Because I can pray for Elder Oliver and say, okay, you know, well, God this, God that, Jesus this, Jesus that, and go on about my business. But when it hit home, it's a different story. And when Pastor came over to visit me, to ask me, you know, to see how I was doing, I told him that I was mad at God for all the things I've been doing, my wife's been doing, my kids been doing, how we've been trying to do this, that, and the other, and try to be right, that this thing would happen. I was mad at God. So for her to recover that quick was nothing but the hand of God. It was like the angel had came to Peter and instantly relieved him of what Herod wanted to do to him. So we had a situation to where my daughter was turned around from the one prayer that my wife did, the continuous prayer that I did, because it hit home so hard, I had to continue to pray. I had to continue to believe that I got mad at God. But he turned that thing around. And what's coming out of her now is nothing but the blessings and the grace of God. So what happened with the people that was praying or the church that was praying was that they knew Herod was successful in killing folks. And they couldn't believe that Peter survived when the damsel came to them and said, "Is Peter knocking at the door?" But that's all I got. It's a long testimony I can give about my daughter, but I won't do it tonight. But great lesson, great teaching, great provoking thought.
Amen.
Thought.
Amen.
Thank
you. Well, amen.
Thank you, daughter. Sister, I'm going to turn over to Sister. Bluette, you have anything you want to say?
I just want to say this one thing, and Dove is a witness, and it's relating to this message about being asleep. It was an episode where my daughter had disappeared, and we had the helicopters, all of Snellville and Loganville was shut down. And Dove happened to call,
when they were searching for my daughter. God gave me a peace. You hear me? I went back to sleep. My husband said, when I pray it one time. I don't have to keep praying. I'm going to pray it that one time and believe God. And if you're going to pray, and I do believe that if they really was believing what they was praying, they wouldn't have been astounded.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was verse the one after that. It wasn't a surprise. This is not a surprise to me what's going on with my daughter. Because I pray.
Mm-hmm.
Believe what you're praying.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes it might be hard. I wasn't raised in a church, so I really don't know church ethics. I just believe the Bible. So I don't know the protocol in church. I believe this Bible. I believe the word. So when the word tells me that by his stripes she's healed, I believe she's healed. And not only was she healed, God took a little quiet little girl to preaching the gospel, even within her illness. She was preaching people. That's why God put corona on this earth, because people turned their back. That's what she was preaching when her brain was swollen. She asked, do you know where you're going if you die? Do you know where you're going if you die? That's what she kept saying. When she had that swelling on her brain, are you sure? Am I going to go to hell? And I led her to Christ in my bathroom, in my kitchen. I told my husband to hold her tight while I run to the car and get my oil. Not that I had to run to the car. I believe what's in this word. I led her to Christ right in my kitchen. We didn't have time to go to church and get prayed for. My daughter needed help right then and there. That's
instant.
How it's going to be on these streets. When we on these streets, these people, when they ask, oh, I pray for you, we walk away. Don't walk away. You pray for them in the grocery store. You pray for them on the street. Wherever they ask for prayer, well, I'm going to be praying for you. We don't even have the time. Christians don't even pray. It's just a cliche. Pray for these people.
Amen.
Right in the spot, even if you're in the park. Sorry, I get excited. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm glad you said it because
it needed to be said. And before I turn this thing over to Dove, I want to ask, it's a question that we need to ask each other. And are we ready? And this is not for you to give me an answer right now. This is just a question. And this is for Praise Tabernacle Church. If a young man or young woman walked into church on Sunday full of demons, are we prepared to cast them out? That's the question. And I'm not. And if you ever had to deal with something like that before, you just can't open your Bible and highlight certain things and then think you're going to deal with a demon. And if we're not ready, that means we're not praying. And if we're not praying, that means we don't have the power. And if we don't have the power, we don't have the substance to be able to do what we need to do. And I love this story so much and the way y'all tell it, especially you, Evangelist Stanton, and because it needs to be told. It needs to be told more than once. It needs to be out there because there's people in that same position. They may not have that medical condition, but they dealing with kids who are at the break of not being here no more. And you know what I mean when I say that. And there's some that do have medical conditions. And just like your daughter, my wife's mother was she was dead. You could see the machine pump. There was nothing. And when I saw her, she made in her mind, before she even went there, that they was going to pray that their mother was going to come out. And she did, despite what the doctor said, despite what everyone else was saying. So that's why it's important for me. And it ain't always about the way Derek wants to do it or the way it's. You never know how God is going to move, because if you're praying, and just like Evangelist Bluette said, she knew because she prayed. And when you pray, regardless of what the situation looks like to man, you know God can change something in an instant, in a moment, if you be obedient and move quickly. And it don't have to be in church, because the church is in you. And a lot of people think you got to wait till you get to these four walls. Well, sometimes you got to wait till you get to four walls because you're not prayed up or strong enough to handle it yourself. You need to bring them to the church where someone is strong enough to deal with it. But even us as leaders, are we ready for what's getting ready to happen? If this young girl is on fire, everybody else should be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of you should be on fire just because you've seen what God can do in her life. I just met the young lady, and I didn't know them when this was going on, but it excites me because this is victory for the Lord. This is a testimony that can lead somebody to Christ. When Peter was in jail and he went from the jailhouse to the church house, and they didn't believe it, and they were supposed to be there praying for it. So what I'm trying to say, and I know this is Bible Study for Praise Tabernacle, is are you ready to believe who's getting ready to knock on the door? Can we deal with it? Or are we going to sit them down until we get a hold of the situation? And that's all I got. I'm going to turn it back over to Dub. I hope y'all learned something. I want to thank all those for listening, and that's all I got for you for tonight.
Amen. Amen. Awesome lesson on tonight, Elder Oliver. A reminder of what we look like being outside the four walls. So, and what I mean by that is, what are you doing at home? Are you reading your word? Are you praying? Are you having praise and worship? Like Elder said, do you only pray for the parking space when you get to the Walmart? Or, you know, at the end of the night, or maybe even bless your food, but that's the only praying that you're doing. And the way that you build up the belief is through prayer. You know, do you trust God for your headache? If you don't trust him for your headache, how are you going to trust him to heal cancer if you can't trust him to heal a headache? But the way to do that, having a relationship with God, not just a religion, not just saying that you are a Christian, but a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship, you want to know more and more about that person. So the way we learn more and more in this relationship is by studying the word, by getting into the presence of God, by being quiet, listening to him, listening to what he has to say, allowing his will to be done in our life. Great lesson on tonight. Just a reminder to all our listeners, what is your prayer life like? Are you talking more on social media than you talk to God? Do you get on Facebook and say more than you do into the presence of God? What is your prayer life like? Because prayer will change things. Prayer will change your circumstances. Prayer will deliver you, heal you, and turn everything around. All you got to do is try it. And with that, believe it. Great lesson on tonight, Elder Oliver. Thank you to our panel on tonight, Rabbi, the Rabbi Elder Bluett, and his beautiful wife, Evangelist Ricky Bluett. We thank you and Elder Oliver for our lesson on tonight. Before I close out, just some reminders of our Praise Tabernacle Church schedule. Monday night, there is D&K Bible Break with our own Elder Derek Oliver and his beautiful wife, Lady Keisha Oliver, at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., our Bible study here on Blog Talk Radio. Then we have Thursday night, Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministry, 7 p.m. on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, Sunday morning, our Sunday morning worship, 9 a.m., live at the Tabernacle. on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. We just praise God tonight for our lesson. We pray that each of you got something out of this lesson. And as I said in the beginning, let us not just be hearers of the word, not just hearing it, but now let us go and do it. Let us activate thing that we heard and begin to have a prayer life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every listener on tonight. I thank you for Elder Oliver as he brought the word, reminding us to pray and even reminding us that our young people have a position in this life as well, that they could come with the word of God and speak the word of God. And we thank you that you're touching our young people, your sons and daughters, and you're preparing them, God, for ministry, just as you did Joshua. There may be some Moseses out there, but now we have some Joshuas that have come up on the scene who know and believe that we can take it and enter into the promised land. And we thank you for our young people, that they will be on fire for you, God. Anoint their lives in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for their salvation, their deliverance, their healing, God. We thank you, Lord, that they may not look like what we think that they should, but they're going to walk in power and authority under your anointing and with the word of God in their mouth, ready to speak what this hope is. Just a reminder us, God, to be in prayer, praise, and worship, and reading our word, Father God, so that this will be a lifestyle that we would believe when we pray, that we won't doubt, fear, or have worry, but, God, that we can sleep and know that you've got the situation taken care of. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And as we leave, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have an awesome week. Be blessed and stay encouraged.
Amen. Amen.